Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches, they never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see
100,000,
600,000
deducted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years." Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor." Every check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, Dawson, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for two straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
As the sun rises over the Arabian Sea on the coastal city of Mumbai, the day is beginning for the 10 million people who live in the crowded city slums. The Hegre family lives in the Kalaba slum in this tiny 10-by-10-foot concrete room. The 60 neighbors who live on their small lane all share just 4 toilets and this small room for bathing. The Hegrays' 3 daughters, 6-year-old twins Anisha and Tanisha, and 12-year-old big sister Anchal, are up early getting ready for school. Their mother, Parvati, helps get the girls and her husband, Rajesh, out the door. After their dad drops the girls off at school, he heads to his job at a security company where he earns about $200 a month. Then Parvati cleans their house, makes lunch and dinner, and performs her daily prayers. Then the most important task of all, she collects the next day's supply of water. In this slum, water only flows during a 2-hour window, just once a day. I felt that you can't come to India without experiencing what we've all heard about the poverty. But I also wanted to frame that story in such a way that it represented the truth of the people. Anchal,
yeah.
I think this is so wonderful that you're giving me the tour guide. You speak English so well. So it wasn't just people living in slums, eating out of the trash piles and not having a place to defecate and all the stuff that comes with being extremely, extremely poor. But for me, every story is about the heart of the people. And so what is the heart of the people? How do you find a story that shows somebody who is living a life of sparseness, of poverty, but also still has the heart? Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Great. All right, we're going here?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Showers of blessings. Oh, thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you, family. Thank you. I have to tell you, when I stepped in the door, I was thinking, okay, where is the house? Okay, where's the rest of the house? And then I realized I was already in it.
All right, everybody quiet, please.
Okay, I wanted to start off by just saying thank you for allowing me into your home. How long have you lived in this home?
Living for 33 years.
33 years?
Yeah.
You don't look 33 years old, but you've lived here your whole life?
Yeah.
So your family was here before?
Yeah, my family is also here.
In this space?
This space.
And this is the entire space. The entire family lives and sleeps in this space.
Mm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you sleep in this room.
In this room.
You eat in this room.
Mm.
You play in this room.
Mm.
You share family time together in this room, which is from here to here. The five of you.
Yeah.
Okay. This may be an obvious question, and I don't mean to be offensive, but does it ever feel crowded? Does it feel crowded?
No.
It doesn't feel crowded.
No, we just manage it. We have a habit of sleeping because we don't feel anything.
You don't feel anything?
Yeah.
And how do you do it? I mean, how do you physically do it?
I sleep in that corner.
Where I am right now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she sleeps over here, my mother over here. My another sister over here and my father over here.
Okay. All right. Would you say this is this a hard life? Is it difficult?
Yes, ma'am.
It is.
Yeah.
And tell me what's the most difficult thing about it.
Difficult work, tell us ki mother work aayegi, maja family illa he karega.
Means he has a problem at that he cannot manage the his salary not for four people. Yeah.
This was an arranged marriage, right?
Yeah.
It was an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it turn into a love marriage?
After 1 year, I love it.
After 1 year,
yeah.
you love it. Is he a good partner?
Yeah, very good partner.
Good partner.
Yeah.
Do you have a good life with him?
Yeah, very nice life.
Hi everybody, welcome to Vanessa's Van.
I recently renovated this 100 square foot building into a cozy tiny home, and in this video I'll show you around and break down the cost along the way. So, let's get started. You enter the property from the side because the building is located in my garden, detached from the main house here in the east of England. I've lived in the house for 4 years, but it's currently undergoing some major renovations, so the tiny house gives me somewhere to live in the meantime. When the house is finished, I'll be renting it out, so this tiny space will serve as storage for my stuff, as I'll be moving away for a while. The extra tall fence can make the space feel darker, but will provide privacy to the tenants if ever I need to come and collect something. Now, you enter the tiny home via this lobby, which feels surprisingly spacious thanks to the wall-to-wall floor mat. When paired with these wall-hung shoe storage boxes, it really helps to maximize the space, and if they are any deeper, I'll be walking into them all the time. With the coat and key racks finishing off this space, and the total cost of everything in this room, from the floor mat, the shoe storage, and the coat rack, was just £121. Not a bad start for this budget build, which I gave myself around £8,500 for. Now, as we take the long walk into the bathroom, it's worth mentioning that there was no running water in this building at all when the renovation started, so that was a significant extra cost. Now, of course, this is a small bathroom, but the shower feels incredibly spacious, and this wall was actually moved back in order to achieve this, which allows for a much more relaxing shower for someone as tall as me, and much more legroom when using the loo. The cost of this room was just over £1,100 in materials and £4,000 in labour, for a total of £5,124, which is where the majority of the budget for this entire renovation went. But you may have noticed there's no sink, which means washing your hands in the kitchen. A small space calls for a small kitchen, and that's exactly what I have done here. But despite that, there's still plenty of room to store, prep, and cook food at home. There's no oven in here, but I rarely use one anyway, and this 4-burner cooktop is more than enough to cook all of my meals, and the microwave is great for reheating any leftovers. The angled extractor fan is compact, which allows me to see what I'm cooking, whilst the smaller fridge allows room on top and down the sides to store more things. Now, I think upgrading this toaster to an air fryer would be a huge upgrade for this kitchen, but I want to know what you think, so let me know in the comments below what you think would be the biggest upgrade to this kitchen. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention that these two walls are magnetic whiteboards, which I use all the time to make notes, plan my days, and make lists of things I need to do. To heat the space, I use this electric radiator, because I didn't want to run any gas lines into the property, as that would have massively increased cost. As for keeping it cool, I just have to open the window and the door, and the place will cool down within minutes. The cost of this kitchen is a little more complicated, because I had the worked up and splashback already from a different project. I also got a few things from Facebook Marketplace to help keep the cost down, such as the cooktop, extractor fan, and even the tap. In total though, it cost me just under £1,300, and if you added a little bit more for the bits I got for free, you could look to spend around £1,700 in order to achieve a similar look. Finishing off the kitchen, I have this floor-to-ceiling cupboard, which stores the majority of my possessions. Paring down from a 3-bed house to a 7-shelf cupboard did take some time, but it was something I was going to need to do anyway before the end of the year when I move away. And now we get to where I spend most of my days, the office. I wanted this area to feel more luxurious and professional, as I knew I'd be spending the majority of my time here, as a software engineer during the day and a wannabe YouTuber at night. So that's why I chose to make the desk out of a piece of solid oak from an old dining table which I found on Facebook Marketplace, which, when combined with the sit-stand desk frame, gives a lot of flexibility when working. The dual monitors are mounted to this stand, which looks much cleaner than just keeping them both on the desk, and more importantly, it provides a lot more space for everything else. This space will be getting even cleaner soon too, as this PC has just been replaced by my new personal laptop, which is a significant upgrade over my 12-year-old PC. And the reason I could afford this upgrade is because of you. By watching my previous video and subscribing, I managed to unlock monetization, and with that first video payslip, I upgraded my setup in order to make better videos. So if you have enjoyed this video so far, please consider subscribing, pressing the bell icon, and why not like the video while you're down there too. It's really helping the channel a lot in these early days. Thank you. As for the cost of everything in this office, I spent just £301. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. Why did I use such a dark color in this tiny space? And look, I get it. This was the first space I ever designed myself from start to finish, and I learned a lot about interior design along the way. However, even after living in here for 6 months, I still absolutely love this blue. It may not be for everybody, but for me, it works, and it's never made the space feel claustrophobic at all. If I'm not out and about, this is where I spend most of my evenings. And whilst I don't use the sofa in this mode too much, when it's set up as a recliner, it becomes a perfect hangout space for relaxing, playing games, and watching TV. Speaking of, I have this 49-inch LG TV mounted to the wall, which may seem like it's at a terrible viewing angle, but it is actually on this extendable mount, so the entire TV pulls out and rotates 90 degrees, so that you can see it while sitting on the sofa. In fact, you can rotate this TV any way you like, so you can watch TV whilst cooking, washing up, or even on the toilet. The wall-mounted PS4 behind the TV ensured that minimal space was used, whilst allowing me to be always just a click of a button away from jumping into some games. To transform this space into a bedroom, I simply have to pull out the sofa, set up the legs, and lay the back on the floor. This gives me about a small double bed in total. I fit. Right? So how much did this all cost? Well, I came into this with a budget of £8,500, and looking back at the kitchen, bathroom, and everything else we've seen so far, they all came to a total of just under £6,700. And when you add in the near £1,200 for the living room section, the total so far comes to £7,870. And that leaves just the miscellaneous section, which includes things like the fencing, electrics, and anything else that didn't naturally fit into any of the other categories. And in total, that came to just under £2,400, leading to a grand total of £10,241. I'll admit it's a little bit over budget, but by doing the work myself, I helped keep that cost from getting even more out of control. So that leaves one more question. Was it worth it? Well, I've actually lived here now for 6 months, and I'm really enjoying being in this space. But besides being just somewhere for me to live whilst the house gets renovated, I actually had the whole house evaluated before and after I did this renovation, and the number surprised me. For what cost me £10,000 to renovate, it added £30,000 of value to the house, which was far more than I ever expected. I thought maybe I'd get the money that I invested into it back, but to see that it tripled my investment blew my mind. There are some links in the description below to a lot of the products you've seen throughout this video, and if you want to actually see me transform this space from start to finish, then click right here or here to see that video. Because not everything went to plan. And with that, please consider liking the video, subscribing to the channel if you're new around here, and I will see you next time.
Okay, now, yesterday, because today's Friday, yesterday, Thursday, we were on, but we were on for, we did an abbreviated podcast because I had to run an errand. It wasn't an emergency, but I had an Uber, and I had to get it then. So we only did 26 minutes yesterday, and we didn't cover anything substantial, just a part of our usual startup with the motivational stuff. So if you missed yesterday, you didn't miss anything. So yesterday we were supposed to do part 10, but like I said, yesterday's podcast was only 26 minutes long. So today we're back with part 10A, where we'll put the content out because we don't have anything, any errands to run where we have a urgent Uber we can opportunity to take advantage of. So today, part 10A, Reba needs $1 million, and we're going to show you that eBay and Facebook Marketplace. Once again, today's podcast said Reba needs $1 million, waiting for Reba to call in, using eBay and Facebook Marketplace. So before we get to that, let's get to Faith Street, because some of you are going to have to be walking by faith, not by sight. But I think we're going to break it down so easy that you'll be able to see how anybody can do it.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, This man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will.
Did you know there are 200 and 93 ways to make change for a dollar? It's true. Let me show you how. There's 100 pennies, 95 pennies and a nickel, 90 pennies and 2 nickels, 85 pennies and 3 nickels, 80 pennies and 4 nickels, 75 pennies and 5 nickels, 70 pennies and 6 nickels, 65 pennies and 7 nickels, 60 pennies and 8 nickels, 55 pennies and 9 nickels, 50 pennies and 10 nickels, 45 pennies and 11 nickels, 40 pennies and 12 nickels, 35 pennies and 13 nickels, 30 pennies and 14 nickels, 25 pennies and 15 nickels, 20 pennies and 16 nickels, 15 pennies and 17 nickels, 10 pennies and 18 nickels, 5 pennies and 19 nickels, 20 nickels, 19, wait.
Okay, Reba needs $1 million. We're going to talk about how to do that through how we shall be doing it through eBay and Facebook Marketplace. But first, before we go any further, I got you guys here. I have to give the number out later. All right, I got SIM card issues on my phone. So I'm working with a different, so if you need to contact me this weekend, here's the number to reach me at. You're going to have to call because we're going to have to do it two ways. The first way is if you are the number that you already had, my 425 number, my 425-520 number, that number, if you're on WhatsApp, I'm on WhatsApp with that number. And if you got me in your phone, and if you use WhatsApp, you can reach me by phone or WhatsApp text using WhatsApp, because I use certain people communicate different ways. So that's one of the ways I communicate. So WhatsApp, that's on the number that you already have me on, which is 425-520, that particular number. You can call or text, send videos, articles, what have you, to WhatsApp. All right, now, if you don't use that and you don't have me on Facebook, all right, then because Facebook, you can reach me through, you should really know how to reach me on that. The phone number to call, you can't text this number because I won't get it. I can even try to text you, but you won't get it. So if you need to speak to me, the number is 484-964-3423. Once again, that's the number I'm using right now. That's the number I'm using right now. 484-964-3423. That's if you need to reach me anytime this weekend, including let's say Monday, that's something to reach me at. You can't text me on it because I won't receive it. And I won't, if I need to reach out to you, I'll be calling you from this number, 484-964-3423. Or if you are of me, like if you use WhatsApp already, then the 4255, that, you know, add me to that, and you can call me on WhatsApp, and then text me on as well. I'll give this number out again before the end of the podcast. All right, now Reba needs $1 million. We're going to be talking about how you can do this through eBay and Facebook Marketplace. This is part 10A because we only did 26 minutes yesterday. We didn't give out any content. So here we go. Let's go to
– According to 2017 tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million a year income. In America, 500,000 people made over $1 million a year income. Now, here's the kicker. Mount Everest, people say, oh, my gosh. You know, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have done it out of 7 billion people? 4,000 only. Out of 326 million people in America, 500,000 people have made $1 million a year income. That means it's so much easier to make $1 million a year income than climb Mount Everest. And some people think $1 million a year income is such a big deal. Not anymore today in America. Now, keep this in mind. Before I get into it, I'm going to have a PDF for you, and I'm going to give you two different sides in this episode. One is going to be the logical side. I'll give you the math. The other one's going to be the emotional side, which is a part that most people struggle with. But this is a guy giving you this video, this message here. I've never lived in a house. I've always lived in an apartment. My parents got a divorce. I barely graduated from high school. I went to the U.S. Army because every counselor I had told me military is the best way for you because you can go to the Army, you can come out, be a cop or a firefighter, and you'll be set with a pension, with benefits, with all this other stuff, and you don't need to worry about everything else because schooling and success for everybody else is not going to work for somebody like you, Patrick. So I went the military route. No one in my family's ever made over six figures. We've never owned or lived in a house with a swimming pool, a backyard, nothing. We've never owned a condo that I've lived in ever, okay? So that was my life. Fast forward, the moment I figured out this formula and I trusted it, which I'm going to share with you. And by the way, this is not one of these clickbait, go on this webinar because I'm going to show you this program that for only $19.99 and you buy this program, I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. This is free content to you, but it's going to make you millions. You'll see by the time I'm done. This formula got me a Ferrari, a Lambo, you know, Porsche, a Dawn, a Rolls Royce, a house, a 15,000 square foot. I've traveled all over the place. More importantly, family. My dad's been all over the world. I've surprised my dad and my mom in the craziest way that they couldn't even believe. And more than anything else, outside of all this other stuff, when family needed money, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to experience unique moments with people that matter to me the most, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to be able to do things when crisis happened for people in my family, I had money in the bank account. You watching this, listen to me. You will do better for the world being a millionaire than doing better for the world somebody making $30,000, $40,000 per year. You need to figure out a way how to make $1 million your income because it is that important to make that kind of money today because it's free to figure out a way to do it today. And I'm going to give it to you. Now, let me get into it. Before I do, questions, thoughts, comments, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the number one channel on YouTube, click on the subscribe button for entrepreneurship. Once we cross 1 million subs, we're doing our first live event with all the value trainers around the world. Make sure you click the subscribe button and join the notification squad. Okay, so let's get right into it. So there are two areas that you need to figure out in order for you to make $1 million your income. One is the logical side that has to do with math. The other one is the emotional side that has to do with belief. We'll get into this, which is going to be some unique stuff you have not heard before, but let me explain the logic side. So here's the math side. When it comes down to coins, we have a half a dollar coin, 50 cents. We have a quarter, 25 cents, a dime, that's 10 cents, a nickel, that's 5 cents, and a penny, that's 1 cent, right? How many different combinations of coins makes up a dollar? Here's what I mean by it. If I have two 50 cent, half a dollar coins, that's $1. If I have four quarters, that's a dollar. If I have 10 dimes, that's a dollar. If I have 20 nickels, that's a dollar. If I have 50 pennies, two quarters, that's a dollar. How many combinations can I come up with to make up a dollar? You know what the number is? 293 different ways I can come up with a dollar. What's my point to you? To make $1 million your income, there's so many different ways that you can break down the math to make $1 million your income. I'm going to give you examples on three different industries for you to say, okay, now I get it on what I need to do to make $1 million your income because you got to know the formula on how to make $1 million your income. So let's go over here right now, Mario, together. Let's look at the first one. The first one is just sales. So pick any product that you want to sell. You don't have to. It can be insurance. It can be any product you're selling that's a $1,000 sale. So if your average commission is $1,000, how many personal sales do you need to make in a month to make $1 million your income? The number is $1,000 is your average commission sale. You need to make 83 sales, which is $83,000 per month times 12 months. You're making roughly $1 million your income. That's if you sold everything personally. Now, you may be watching this and saying, Pat, there's no way in the world I can sell 83 of these a month. That's why you may need a team or a sales team. If you become a sales team, if that average sale that everybody sells is $1,000, If you're a sales manager and a broker, maybe the average commission by sales made by a rep to you is $250, which means $250, if the average sale to you is that the commission, you make your cut. You need 332 sales made by everybody to come up with $83,000 that becomes $1 million your income. So now, what you're solving for is what? 332 sales. How do you make 332 sales? Basic math. Either get five people that sell 66 of these products per month, either find 10 that do 33, 20 who do 16 of these, or get 40 sales rep that do 8 of these to make $1 million your income. This is any sales industry. Now let's look at real estate. Here's real estate. Say the average home you sell is $500,000. The commission that's paid to you as an agent is 6%. Your cut, the total commission is $30,000. Your cut is 70%. 70% of that $30,000 commission, because your broker keeps the 30%, that's $21,000. You need to make four of those sales per month to make $84,000 a month. Times 12 months, you'll make $1,008,000 per year. Now, you may say, well, my average home size is not $500,000. It's $250,000. No problem. You need eight sales. Well, the average home size I sell is $1 million loan. Then you need two sales. It doesn't matter. Figure out the math for yourself. If you're a broker and you have real estate agents working for you, how much total do you need to sell for you to make your 30% cut of $1 million your income? Here's what it is. If the commission is $30,000, your cut is 30%. That's $9,000 you take as a broker, which means you need 10 sales to be made. That's $90,000 for a total of $1,080,000 per year, right? So how do you break that down? Well, you need five real estate agents per month that make two sales a month for you at $500,000 to make 90 grand a month, or you need 10 real estate agents that work for you that make a sale of $500,000 per month for you to make $1,008,000 per year. The formula is there. Now, here's another one. Some of you guys that are engineers, you're on an IT firm or a consulting firm, and the average hourly is $150. This could be a law firm. This could be an IT firm. This could be a consulting firm. But the average hour that you charge, I come to you, I need you to design the software for me. You say it's going to be around 300 hours. 300 hours times 150 hours, $150 per hour, I'm paying you $45,000. I'm just kind of giving you a math here. And $450,000, I'm giving a math to you here, right? So if the average hour is 150, your engineer that works for you, because you sold the contract, there's a lot of people that sell these contracts who don't know anything about coding or IT. They sell the contract. If the average engineer who works for you makes $75, your cut is $75. That means you need roughly 1,100 hours in a month to make $83,000 per month to make $1 million your income. So the formula you solve for is what? 1,100 hours. So 1,100 hours divided by 4 weeks is roughly 275 hours. That's 40 hours per week with seven consultants. If you have seven consultants doing 40 hours a week of you making $75 per profit on the hour, you are making $1 million your income. Do you see what I'm showing to you here? This is the mathematical formula. By the way, this is boring, but it's exciting when you get a paper and pen and you start writing out your formula. Oh my gosh. This is all I need to do to make $1 million income. What do I need to do to make $2 million or $3 million or $5 million or $10 million? That's the pure math. It's so easy to do, but this is logic. This will not get it done. I know a lot of smart, intelligent, logical people with four-year degrees who, you know, mastered calculus, pre-calculus, who have this down, but they have problems with this next part. And by the way, this is 20% of the work. This is 80%. Let's get on to the emotion side. So here's the emotion side. On the emotion side, you have multiple different areas. Let me start off with the first one here. And this is by far the biggest challenge people have, and that is belief. In order for somebody to make this kind of money, $1 million your income, you're not going to make it if you don't believe it. So you say, well, Pat, how do I get a chance to believe this? I never, in my wildest dreams, nobody in my family made this kind of money. I've not been around people that make this kind of money. How can I make this kind of money? Here's the kicker. You need to master the art of future truth. Now, what is future truth? A lot of people have a hard time with this. Let me explain. So imagine if you have a lot of doubt. You don't believe in you, right? You're like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, this is great, but me making $1 million income, I don't know about that. Yesterday, I had 60 people here in my office, and I said, what is the big deal about making $1 million income? You should have seen some people's faces. Well, I don't really know if I'll ever make it, but it's kind of cool to dream about having a big house and the cars and the freedom and a few million in the bank account, but I don't know if it's for me. That's because they don't believe in it. That's because they don't understand the concept of future truth. Let me explain to you the future truth concept. Some of you may have never heard of future truth before. Here's what it is. If you're going to lie about you, you may as well tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over again. Now, at first, it's very difficult. Let me describe this to you before you get uncomfortable. For instance, I am going to make $1 million a year income. Now, I want you to say it. Say it to me real quick. Stop. Say it. I'm going to give you a second. Say it. I am going to make $1 million a year income. Say it again. Perfect. Let me ask you, was it uncomfortable? Do you feel like you're lying to yourself, right? Sometimes people say, well, Pat, that kind of was weird. I feel like I'm lying to myself. If you say, I am amazing, I'm meant to do something big with my life, I'm the guy that's going to go out there and be the hero to my family, that's difficult for some people because they're lying. But it's a current lie, but it's not a future lie. It's a future truth. It is a current lie, but it's a future truth. You see, the more you tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over and over and over again, and eventually believe it, future truth is you're going to make $1 million your income. This is a belief system that is very difficult for most people to do because most people think every kind of lie is a bad lie. No, I'm not telling you to go lie to your wife about some things you're doing on the side or lie to your husband about what you're doing on the side. I'm telling you, tell a good lie. I'm going to make a difference in the world. And you don't believe it, but say it a million times. You're going to end up believing it. I'm meant to do something special in my life. There's no way in the world God put me on this planet to just be a regular guy. No way. The blood in here is boiling. I want to do something big with my life. This guy was put on this planet to make a difference. Say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Convince everybody in the world. The entire time you're just trying to convince one person, and that is you. And that's the game of future truth. And for some of you that are making $4,000 a month for the last 20 years, you really need to start lying to yourself. You, I'm talking to you. You really need to start this moment, start telling a lie to yourself on how special of a human being you are. Over, and don't expect anybody else to do it. For instance, when you say, honey, I wish you would have told me more nicer things. Mom, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Dad, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Don't wait on them. Start with you. Number two, perspective. Here's what I mean by perspective. Sometimes you need to make the big small. Did you notice how I started the video and what did I say? I said, according to last year's tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million your income. I said that. Then what did I say? Total amount of people that have climbed Mount Everest is how many? 4,000. That perspective to you made the big small. You need to do that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until like, why am I thinking this is such a big deal to make $1 million your income? It is not, because you finally got perspective. You put things in perspective, and you're over and over and over and over again making a big small, 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 until eventually you're like, oh, this is not a big deal. We're going to do this as well. Number three, question everything. Everything. When your mom and dad say something and it doesn't make any sense, like, you know, it's hard to, not everybody's going to make millions. Honey, it's not us to make millions. Don't sit there and let them say it. Stop them. Listen, mom, I don't believe you. Dad, I don't want to believe you. Bro, I don't want to believe you. Dude, I'm not with you. I don't want to buy into that concept. Say it to them. Question them. Challenge them. Don't let them get away with it by saying it around you, because if you sit there and you don't question that thing, that means you bought into it. That means you believed it. You got to question the stuff you tell yourself. Stop yourself. Wait a minute. Is that even true? I don't believe you. You to yourself, I don't believe what you're saying, bro. I don't want to believe you. I'm not buying what you just said right now. Question every single thing. Why do I believe this way? Why do I think this way? Why am I wired this way? Is that thinking even right? Why do I even do this? We had a meeting last week with my staff. This is a different meeting than yesterday. Yesterday's was sales. Last week's was staff. And one of our employees, they were required, every one of them was required to read the book Principle. And if they didn't read it, some of them were going to get fired. And, you know, we had the meeting. And I know some people are, this is harsh. Look, there's a few things with me. I may look like a guy on video you like and all this other stuff. Working with me on a daily basis, the expectation and standard is here. I expect you to perform. That's the reason we create an incredible environment where people love being around. But the expectation of performance is very, very high, and the pressure is very high to perform, work, and improve. If you're the same person every 3 to 6 months, you don't need to be in this company. You need to go to a different place. So I was speaking about this, and one lady said, well, you know, in this book, what I took away from this book was the fact that I think sometimes in companies, the executives need to understand that everybody's different and not everybody, you know, does this and does that. I said, ma'am, stop. I said, did you even read the book? No, I didn't read the book. I said, why is it that the first thing you got out of the book is how you can fix everybody around you instead of how you can fix you? You see, the only way your income's going to grow is by focusing all the things that you got to do on you to improve. If you fix you, everybody else around you is going to be fine. But you got to fix you. And I asked the following question. I said, here's a question for you. I said, what's the most money you've ever made in a year? Don't say it publicly. Just think about that number. What is the most money you ever made in a year? Then I said, go back 10 years ago. How much has that income changed and why? Why? Why has that income not changed that much? If 10 years ago you were making 16 bucks an hour, 10 years later you're making 16 bucks an hour, why is that? Why is your market, you know, value in the marketplace the same thing? Is it everybody's fault? Is it the government's fault? Is it your boss's fault, your parents' fault, your kids' fault, your spouse's fault, or your fault? Everything here comes back to you. And it's so hard to do, but you got to face the truth. You ain't going to make $1 million your income. You don't face the truth and realize the issue's right here. And the last item to cover over here, to my left, to your right, is guaranteed formula for success. If you notice, it's got a little bit of green in it, and it's got a little bit of red in it because it's a combination of emotion and logic. It's the four things I always talk about. My guaranteed formula for success that is 100% proven for my life and other people I've taught. Outwork, outimprove, outlast, and outstrategize. Again, outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. What you're looking on the screen here, on the screen, look at those four again. What you're looking on the screen here, which of those four things that you're looking at, the outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize, which of those four things do you think comes last? Meaning you learn the latest. It's outstrategize. Why? Because that requires a lot of experience. It's like you got to go through like a general in the war, right? You got to go through so many different wars to learn different strategies and what works and what tactics works and what doesn't work. That's something you got to be working on, right? However, the other three, outwork. If a guy works 80 hours a week and you work 40 hours a week, you can't compete with that guy. If you yourself are reading 2, 3, 4 books a month and you're developing your mind and your competitor is not, and he only reads 1 or 2, and you study in industry articles and all this other stuff, and they're not, you know, you're studying how to recruit CEOs, CFOs, COOs, CMOs, what is the best way to stretch this $1 million investment that I got to make this happen? Who should I talk to be part of a group or mentors and CEOs group and all these? Who should I network with? What community should I be a part of? Who's the best engineers, IT firm to hire? What are these competitors doing? What are some of the guys that are not even in my market? If you start studying those industries, somebody else isn't. It's tough to compete with you. And then outlast. Some people work 80 hours a week for a year, and that's great. But they can't work 80 hours a week for 3 years. Some work 80 hours a week for 3 years. But you work 80 hours a week for 5 years. You outlasted the guy that did 3 years or 1 year. They can't compete with you because the compounding effort favors you. So these four things that you look at on the screen require one thing, and that's discipline. And the discipline part you don't hear a lot about. That's the things people do when nobody else sees. That's when you win. Again, there's a part of this that's logical. There's a part of this that's emotional. Well, let me get to the last part here and wrap up the session here. So you got all these different things. Imagine this part here with you and I talking. Think about it this way. What if you, at the end of this video, what if you, watching this, you said, it makes sense. I'm going to apply some of this stuff, okay? I'm going to sit down and figure out my math. I'm going to do it, okay? And I'm going to sit down and question my beliefs. I'm going to sit down and talk about the future truth. I'm going to find a big lie and say it over and over and over again. By the way, I want you to tweet me your big lie on Twitter, at Patrick by David, tweet me your big lie. And my favorite lie, I'm going to retweet a few of them. You tweet me your biggest lie, at Patrick by David. What is your big lie? What is your future truth? You start working on your perspective, making a big small. You start questioning everything, challenging your thinking. You face the truth. You make a game plan to outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. You start making $1 million your income. And you become one of those 500,000 people in America that make $1 million your income. You may be in another different country and you're making $1 million your income because principles are evergreen in all the countries outside of communism and socialism. What if you apply those concepts and you started improving? What if you did that? What would happen to you? What happens if you make $1 million your income? Are you better for your family? Are you better for your community? Are you better for your parents, your friends, your kids? Are you better for society? Are you better for your friends? Are you better for everybody? More importantly, are you better for you? Do you have better doctors for you? Do you live in a better community? Do you give more money to charity? Do you give more money to communities? Do you feel better about yourself? Do you wake up in the morning and once you figure out this entire formula, do you really think you can go back to being a regular person like you used to be? Do you really think you can go back and take up some of your bad habits if you make this thing a consistent thing? Now, it's easy to go back and be in bad, but don't you think you're going to start living a whole different life? Is it not worth it to make a decision to do this? You see, the reality is of everybody watching this, maybe 1% of you is actually going to apply the things we talk. Maybe 1% of everybody watching is going to apply the stuff that we're talking about. Most people are just going to go boom, boom, they skipped. You went back to work or you went back to a whole different thing, and you'll say, I'm going to get back to this later on today and put a reminder, and you forget about it like everybody else does. A few of you are going to watch this, and you're going to say, stop everything. I'm taking a break. Hey, I need a break, 20-minute break, 30-minute break. Go grab it because your emotions are high. Start writing. Start asking. Write this whole formula. We're going to have a PDF below for you to get and start writing all this stuff. If that's you, I got two other videos for you to watch. One, 11 Skills of a Millionaire, 11 Skills Millionaires Master. You got to watch this one. And another one is how to really become a millionaire. Not how to make $1 million income, how to really become a millionaire. You need to watch how to really become a millionaire, and you need to watch 11 Skills Every Millionaire Masters. You do those things and go through the PDF and start applying these concepts, 2, 3, 6, 12 months from now, not only are you not going to recognize yourself, none of your friends and family is going to start recognizing yourself, and all of a sudden you're going to send me a message on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter saying, Pat, I just crossed $1 million income. I want to ask you, how's it feel? How's it feel? Was it as hard as you thought it was going to be? It was hard, but not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And I'm making $1 million income. And by the way, I can't wait for you to do it. You, I'm talking to you, the serious one. You, I can't wait for you to do it. I can't wait for your dreams to become a reality. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for you to experience this and tell me about it a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. Anyways, you want the PDF, click on the link below. Questions, thoughts, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, click on the subscribe button right here to my left. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Today's podcast titled Reba Needs $1 Million. And we're going to do it using eBay and Facebook Marketplace. This is part 10A. Now, just as a background, because what we're doing is we're bringing into what we've been talking, the whole with tiny houses and building and all that, breaking it down to simplify it for you. And another mathematical formula, arithmetic, just plain arithmetic, eighth-grade arithmetic, we already figured if we build a $5,000 tiny house and sell it for $5,000, if we do that, that's totally something totally unsexual. We're not talking about Rolls Royces or Bentleys or Mercedes, but just a basic $5,000 tiny house. And we do that 200 times, build and sell, $1 million. If we build for five and then sell it for 10, make a $5,000 profit, but you and with, if you do that 100 times, we would have grossed $1 million if we did it 100 times. All right? So here's some other numbers I'm going to give out. Before I give those out, I ran across a quote yesterday I think is very interesting, simple though. Impossible is an opinion. It is not a fact. Once again, impossible is not an opinion. Oh, excuse me. Impossible is an opinion and not a fact. Once again, impossible is a opinion. It is not a fact. All right. Now, Patrick mentioned during his audio, according to the Internal Revenue Service, 500,000 people filed a tax return of $1 million or more. Now, if we break that down into the 50 states here in the United States, that's 10,000 people per state. That's quite a number of people, 10,000. I mean, considering most people don't even know 1,000 people. Forget about what you see on Facebook or YouTube, your subscribers, or how many friends you got. If you got, what's the maximum for Facebook? I think it's like 4,000 friends. Either 4,000 or 5,000, one of the two. Most people with all that friend count, including me, I've hit the Facebook maximum God knows how many times. And I have now, based on my phone, how many people do I have on my phone? I have 600 on my phone, the people I've actually talked to. That doesn't mean I'm friends with all those people. It's just I've had at least one conversation with them. So I don't know 4,000 people personally. All right. Anyway, so 10,000 people per state. So here's a question I'm going to throw out there to you. In whatever state that you live in, how many, take that number of 10,000 and divide it into how many counties are in your state. And I'll tell you on average, you know, give or take, how many millionaires out of that 500,000 possibly live in the county that you live in. Now, I live in the county, or I'm in Florida. So in Florida, Florida has 67 counties. So 10,000 people, 10,000 people, that's 500,000. Divided by 67 counties, so about maybe 149 of those people live in the county that I'm in right now. You know, we're talking about filers. Now, we're not talking about people who have $1 million worth of debt or $1 million or more in assets, because most people, there are a lot of people worth of, who's $1 million in debt between your car and your house and maybe throwing stones. There's a whole bunch of people $1 million in debt. We're talking about people that actually filed an income tax return that they had an income of $1 million or more. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's disposable income. It's just that's the way it is. All right, so that's a large club. 500,000 people. I mean, out of how many people in this United States has over 330 billion now, or 300, over 300 billion. Excuse me. United States has over 300 million. So it's a big club. It's a big club, yet small club also. Let's see now. Doctors in the United States, there's about 1 million-plus doctors in the United States. On average, they might make over $300,000 a year. YouTubers that earn a full-time living, that's over $1,200,000 a year. Excuse me, people. YouTubers that earn a living full-time, that's over 1,220,000 people. eBayers, 1,300,000 people are full-time eBayers. Now, this is around the globe. All right. Facebook, let's say it's about 1 million-plus people that, you know, earn some type of income on a regular. As compared to the NBA has 450 jobs for players. They're 30-plus owners. When I say plus, because typically the way NBA teams are owned, or sports teams, franchises are owned, you have one, they're joint ventures. So you have the face, somebody like a Mark Cuban with Dallas Mavericks, but then they put together a joint venture of other people that throw in $100,000 here, $1 million there, $500,000 here, $200,000 there, and then they come up with what they need to buy the club. And WhatsApp, WhatsApp, I haven't had time to check that out yet. All right, so now, picking up from the day before yesterday, if you go to eBay, to the real estate section, and I'm just using this based on my personal experiences, okay? I would say this weekend, and I'll be giving some of you a call this weekend.
so you'll have this number, my weekend number, locked in for you. On eBay, go through and you want to look at, go to the real estate section, and then you pick a state or look at all listings. And then for a price, let's say, click, and I'm going to do this right now in real time. We can do this in real time because we got plenty of time to do it. Let's say under $1,900. And then see what comes back. Real estate under $1,900. Click that and see what comes back. All right. And matter of fact, I'm going to look at not only that, but the buy it now price. So what kind of real estate can you buy for $1,900 or less on eBay? Now, I'm looking at, here's a piece of land for sale in Arkansas. It's 43 people watching the auction right now, and the terms of it is, let's click on this. Land for sale in Arkansas with a creek, only $99 down and $99 a month for 48 months. Now, let's say, is there a buy it now price on this? Okay, verify I am a human. Jesus, I got to pick out sunflowers here. Okay. I'm trying to find out, oh man, it's now it's making me sign in. Let's see if we... Okay, continue as... Trying to find a buy it now price. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Review and commit to buy. Man, it's easy to do. All right. But that's the terms. $99 down. I'm not going to commit to buy because I'm just using this. And $99 a month. All right. So now, I want you to go through this. And when I call some of you, we can go over it together. But just for the sake of simplicity, matter of fact, let me go back. Let me find something higher price. All right. Let's price. All right, I'm going for, there's another category, $1,900 to $20,700. Let's see what they have there. Because I want to make one. All right, here's something for, all right, here's a fixer-upper for $7,900, $999. Here's another piece of property for $9,200. Here's another property. All right. Here's one for $7,800. Okay. This is a 10-day auction. Nobody's bid on it yet. They don't have a buy it now price on here. It's in Michigan. Oh, but 93 people have viewed it in the last 24 hours. Okay, so 96 people have viewed it. It's a 10-day auction. All right, here's the thing.
Okay. Take the figure of 1 million. Oh, wait a minute. All right, I got to undo my part. Take the figure of 1 million and divide it by $7,800 or 7,800. All right. If the person who is running this auction does that 128 times in the course of a year, they would have done over a million in sales. Now, this, like I said, go through, when I call you guys over the weekend, we can go over some of these things one-on-one, because what we shall be doing is, now, probably everything you see on eBay, somebody got a foreclosed property and they put it up for, you know, put up on eBay. We're booking ours, threats, and then putting them up on eBay. All right. Also on eBay, type into the search engine on eBay, tiny house, and let's see what some of those are going for. I'm looking at a tiny house here. The asking price is $9,999.99. 145 people are watching that. All right. Here's another tiny house for sale for $9,500. 126 people are watching that. Here's a tiny house, dome house, for $19,898. 248 people are watching that. So our basic formula will be essentially build our own, and then one of the platforms that we can use will be eBay. Like I said, nothing sexy, and just look. I mean, half these things are fixer-uppers. So we're not talking about luxury. We're not talking, forget about the Rolls Royces and the Bentleys and all. No, no. We're dealing with bread and butter housing. That's what we're dealing with. These people don't have to fix it up. They don't have to assemble it. But that's like putting it together like a puzzle. They have to assemble it, and we'll teach classes on how to do that. Now, and for this tiny house, for $9,999.99, essentially, if they do that 100 times in a year, they can make $1 million. That's gross revenue on eBay, just eBay alone, and people do that. All right. Now, the other platform that I want you guys to check out is Facebook Marketplace. Now, I've used eBay. I'm speaking from experience. I've used eBay with 7-day auctions. Now, with Facebook Marketplace, I've done rentals with those. But you can do sales on Facebook Marketplace as well as rentals. Since the pandemic, I have been living off of just two ads that I placed. One set of tenants. They lived in it for 2 years. And then they moved on up, good ones too. And then I've been living off of Facebook Marketplace from just two ads I placed on Facebook Marketplace really for the last 5 years. I just paid my light bill, 2 days ago, off of one of those ads. That's just Facebook Marketplace. All right. Craigslist is another option that I've used successfully, but all we're talking about today is Facebook
and eBay. So Facebook Marketplace. Now, you also have Facebook Live. I have not, me personally, I haven't done Facebook Live. I've done Facebook Marketplace. But the beauty of Facebook Marketplace is we can start a build project on Facebook Live, and while we're building it and people see it's being built in real time, people can bid on it and buy it before the property is even complete through a Facebook Live session. That can also be done through Zoom or Yardstream. But if you go on Facebook Marketplace, you can look in your neck of the woods. Now, I'm looking here because I'm in Florida. Here's a tiny house for sale in Valrico, Florida. That's spelled V-A-L-R-I-C-O, Valrico, Florida. That's about, man, I'm about, what, 20, 25 minutes away from there. And it's about 15 minutes or so away from, another 15, 20 minutes away from Tampa, Florida. Okay, Valrico, Florida. Here's a tiny house for sale, A-frame tiny house. They're asking $1,990. All right. Now, here's a shed in Lutz, Florida. They're asking $10,000. The shed is 12 by 30 feet. 12 by 30. They call it a shed / tiny home. Let me click on that one since they put tiny home on it. But they got pictures with it. All right, they say condition is used, but it's good. It says it's 12 by 30 shed, 24 feet. It's uninsulated and drywall with carpet, flooring, windows, or AC unit. Let's see. The other 6 foot is a storage room that can be easily turned into a bathroom. All with electricity and any pictures of it on the inside. So it's a fixer-upper. It's basically a head that you can convert into a tiny house. That's what, but they're asking for $10,000. They're asking $10,000 on that. All right. That's on Facebook Marketplace. So in your neck of the woods, type in on Facebook Marketplace. Here's another tiny house right in the town I'm in, Lakeland, Florida. $10,000. Let's see. Looking for a tiny home or a she shed. We sell sheds. This is basically a shed that you can convert into a tiny house or a she shed or whatever you want to call it. And it's, they got several models on here, okay, so. Okay, and then, so in your neck of the woods, look for, well, go to Facebook Marketplace and type in tiny house or, and just see what's for sale in your neck of the woods. So you can either, You can use one platform and be successful, or you can play around with a few platforms. It all depends on what strategy that you know that you're going to come up with. Now, we're doing these as like a class project, we'll go through these. Like I said, I'll be calling people over the weekend. Here's another house I'm looking at on eBay. It's 12 by 8. It's a prefab tiny house. It also, you can also, it's classified as a portable office or a guard shack or ADU, which means accessory dwelling unit for your backyard. They're asking $10,000. There's 41 people watching that piece. So it's just, take 1 million and divide it by 7,000. If you want to gross 1 million in a year, That's what you got to do. You know, mark up whatever you want to mark up. But that's if you buy something. We're from the let's build it from scratch because it's more profitable that way. There are things on here for $17,500, $22,000. Here's another one for $7,000. Incredibly low prices on here. And they're all over. Here's one for $3,999. 301 people are watching that. Here's one for $19,900. 343 people watching that. It's listed as an amazing tiny house or glamping pod. Portable tiny home cottage, 21,000. And 10 people are watching that. And typically, let's click on this one. Like I said, you can go, yeah. Now, there's a buy it now price. And let's see what the buy it now price. This is on a portable tiny house, tiny home cottage. eBay's doing this thing. I write, I am human. All right, I got to click all the sunflowers on this. Okay, the buy it now price is $22,919.50. And I can pay through PayPal or PayPal credit. But once again, I'm from the build it and sell it. So that's one of the possibilities. And 110 people are watching that particular tiny house. From my experience, the sweet spot, if you got stuff priced at $10,000 and below, you can get a sale. $10,000 and below, maybe 12, but I would say 10. $10,000 and below, you can move it. Okay, let me, and I've used eBay to sell as well as I've used eBay to buy. All right. I've used Facebook Marketplace, basically as to put out rental income, to generate rental income. But the thing about Facebook Marketplace, Facebook Live, and eBay, now the others, I'm just talking about the ones I've used, and I'll even throw out Craigslist. When people go on those platforms, those people are ready buyers. You don't have to sell them on anything. Those people are ready buyers, and they have money to spend right then and there. So when we organize our team for this, or teams for this, essentially, because we use that formula 781, we essentially had to, the most important thing we have to have is organizing the seven people to build that structure in 8 hours. If you master that, the platform's the easy part. The platform's the easy part. Okay. All right. And it's really that simple. It's not rocket science or anything like that. So if you have any questions, 619-768-2945. We got some time here today. And like I say, those are not the only platforms. There's Etsy. I've never used Etsy, but a lot of people have success with it. Zoom, StreamYard, where you can get on multiple platforms. X, which used to be Twitter. Instagram. Man, people sell all kinds of things on Instagram. So, like I say, I should be calling people this weekend so we can organize. And because before we do this, you guys need to, like I say, fully understand how eBay works and Facebook Marketplace works. They're both simple. They're both simple, but, you know, you want to run it through there first. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Once again, check out, and I'll be calling people individually, so when I call you this weekend, we're going to go through Facebook Marketplace, just reviewing what we talked about here today, so we can power over it, you know, in real time. And what else? Facebook Marketplace and eBay. Those, and that's based on, now, of course, we have an open mind. So if you've got online experience so successfully that hasn't been on eBay or Facebook Marketplace, share it with us. Share it with me. And, you know, we'll put it out there.
Now, one platform that I have not sold anything on yet, but it is a powerful tool. It is WhatsApp. WhatsApp. But then switching back to Facebook place, I have colleagues, Africa, Uganda, Nigeria, and they make their living, a good portion of it, through Facebook Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace. And that might be better than eBay. All right. But eBay's good, though. eBay's good, based on my personal experience. All right. So, like I said, you'll be getting a call from me this weekend. I don't want to give people, you know, my number locked in until I get a new SIM card. And any questions, I'm still here, 619-768-2945. If you got any questions, announcements, what have you, Monday we'll be back for part 11 because we'll be gearing up for, that's good. We're putting things together now. We got to put it all together and crank out cash, profit. So, all right, on that note, everybody's quiet. It's 2 after 12, so I'm going to knock off for the day. Talk to you guys this weekend. Have a great day.